सिद्धिं उपेषि। तद्विरासीत् पुण्यतमम् क्षेत्रं त्रैलोक्यभिश्रुतम् नाम्ना सिद्धपदं यत्र सा संसिद्धिम् उपेष्यति तद्विरासीत् पुण्यतमम् क्षेत्रं त्रैलोक्यभिश्रुतम् सा
संसिद्धिमुपेशीत्रैलोक्यश्रुतां Translation, the palace where Devahuti achieved her perfection, my dear Vidura, is understood to be a most sacred spot. It is known all over the world to sit upon it. Dear Vidura, the material elements of her body have melted into water and are now a flowing river, which is the most sacred of all rivers. Anyone who bathes in that river also attains perfection, and therefore all persons who desire perfection go there, go bathe there. My dear Vidura, the great sage Kapila, the personality of God, had left his father's hermitage with the permission of his mother and went towards the northeast. While he was passing in the northern direction, all the celestial denizens, known as Charas and Gandharvas, as well as the Munis and the damsels of the heavenly planets, prayed and offered him all respects. The ocean offered him oblations and a place of residence. Purport is understood that Kapila Muni first went towards the Himalayas and traced the course of the river Ganges, and he again came to the delta of the Ganges at the sea now known as the Bay of Bengal. The ocean gave residence at a place still known as Ganga Sagara, where the river Ganges meets the sea. That place is called Ganga Sagara Tirtha. Even today, people gather there to offer respects to Kapila Dev, the original author of the Sankhya system of philosophy. Unfortunately, the Sankhya system has been misrepresented by an imposter who is also named Kapila. But the other system of philosophy does not tally with anything described in the Sankhya of Kapila and Srimad Bhagavatam. Even now, Kapila Muni is staying there in trance for the deliverance of the conditioned souls in the three worlds, and all the acharyas, great teachers of the system of Sankhya philosophy, are worshipping him. My dear son, since you have inquired for me, I have answered, O sinless one, the description of Kapila Dev and his mother and their activities are the purest of all discourses. The description of the dealings of Kapila Dev and his mother is very confidential, and anyone who hears or reads this narration becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is carried by Garuda, and he thereafter enters into the abode of the Supreme Lord to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, the narration of Kapila Dev and his mother Devahuti is so perfect and transcendental that even if one only hears or reads this description, he achieves the highest perfectional goal of life, for he engaged in the loving service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no doubt that Devahuti, who had the Supreme Lord as her son and who followed the instructions of Kapila Dev and nicely attained the highest perfection of human life. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Purport of the third canto, 33rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Tala activities of Kapila, and the third canto. Translation of the palace where Devahuti achieved her perfection, my dear Vidura is understood to be the most sacred spot known all over the worlds as Siddhapadam. So this concludes the story of Kapila Dev, including the story of his mother and how she got married to Kardama Muni, and the teachings of Kapila Dev, and then the disappearance of Devahuti, and the place of Kapila Dev. So Kapila Dev was not mentioned as disappearing, but as simply residing at the mouth of the Ganga River, Ganga Sagar. where there's still a temple there for him, and he is worshipped there. So the story of Kapila is the story of one of the avatars. At the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Nainisaranya request Suta Goswami to discuss about the avatars, give a list of all the different avatars and their activities. So in the course of the Bhagavatam, we will see many avatars are described. This, of course, is within the general history from the creation of the material world by Brahma, and then the various Manus appearing, Swayambhuva, and within that, the various avatars make their appearance. So not only the avatars are described, but they are placed within the history of the day of Brahma, that is also described. So along with the appearance of the avatars, we also get a description of the Manus and their descendants. So in this way, the one of the subjects of the Puranas, that is Manvantara, or description of the Manus and their different reigns, is also covered. But more important for Bhakti and for Srimad Bhagavatam is the fact that the avatars are the Supreme Lord Himself, and the pastimes of the Supreme Lord are the most important thing. Nevertheless, the devotees in relation to the Supreme Lord are also considered to be very important, and therefore we have these different stories concerning Manus and their descendants. And we will see that through the descendants of the Manus, most of the avatars appear. Of course, there are exceptions like Nrsimhadeva, etc. But the whole Bhagavatam traces the lineage of different Manus, etc., and kings until we come to the appearance of Ramchandra. And then another line is traced until we come to the Yadu dynasty and then the appearance of Krishna. And of course, even after that, these lines are traced into Kali Yuga, some degree. So in this way, the historical aspect of the Puranas is presented. In any case, the avatars are specific to certain periods. So Kapila Dev appears within Swayambhuva Manvantara period, the first 71 Yuga cycles in the day of Brahma. And Brahma has day after day after day, or 160 days in 1 year and 100 years. So he has that many Swayambhuva Manvantaras. And within that Swayambhuva Manvantaras, the same avatars will appear. So we find here a description previously in the same canto, a description of the appearance of Varaha in Swayambhuva Manvantara. And then we have Kapila's appearance. Of course, there are many others as well. So all of these appear every day of Brahma, within the Swayambhuva Manvantara, within the first part of the day of Brahma. So the appearance of Kapila and the appearance of Varaha takes place again and again and again and again, every day in the life of Brahma. So it is not an isolated affair, but it is repetitive. And similarly, all the other avatars also make their appearance at specific times within the day of Brahma and certain Manvantara periods. And we will notice, however, that many of the Leela avatars will appear in Swayambhuva Manvantara. So we get the Kumaras and Narada Muni and Yagya and Nara Narayan, Hamsa, as well as Kapila and Varaha and Matsya. They all appear within this first part of the day of Brahma. And so they all make their appearances every day of Brahma in this manner. Later on, we'll find that Varaha again appears in Chakshusha Manvantara and kills Hiranyaksha. And Nrsimhadeva appears and that's the sixth Manvantara, Chaturtha Manvantara, and Kail Puranika Sutu. And then after that, Vaivasvata Manvantara, the seventh Manvantara comes. And then Vamana appears several times. And Parsaram appears. And Ramchandra appears. And Vyasadeva appears. And then Krishna and Balaram appear. And so that's all within the Vaivasvata Manvantara period. So in this way, this happens every day of Brahma, all these appearances within the specific times. So there's no room for adding avatars. We can't just whimsically add an extra avatar here or there and make one up. All the ones that are mentioned here are the ones, the principal ones that make their appearance. And they are enumerated as being so many in number. So we can't start adding more to that and concocting new types of avatars. Of any form, even Shaktivesh avatars are limited in their number. So, in this way, the avatars are described according to the request of the sages at Naimisharanya, which show the great variety of forms of the Lord, even though the Lord is one. He has many, many forms by his inconceivable potency. And so we'll see forms like Kapila who teach, but don't show much powers beyond that. And then we'll have Nrsimhadev, who shows great powers. He manifests a thousand arms, and he fought with the soldiers, and killed Hiranyakasipu, etc. And he shocked the devatas by his appearance. So we'll find avatars like Nrsimhadev, who show great powers. And then we'll see avatars like Kapiladev, who doesn't manifest many powers, all he does is do some teaching. He teaches Devahuti. So we'll see various aspects of the Supreme Lord fulfill certain functions. How these forms are one, this is the inconceivable power of the Supreme Lord. And spiritually speaking, forms are different from material forms, which are quite limited. So therefore, that form of the Lord can expand into different forms and still be one person, Supreme Lord. But the whole purpose of all of this is to show that all of these different forms with all the different qualities are only ultimately aspects of Krishna, because Krishna is the complete form. Whatever qualities exist in Nrsimhadev and Rama and Kapila and Varaha and Matsya and Kurma, etc. Also, same qualities will exist in Krishna, but more qualities will exist in Krishna in greater degree. And therefore, the whole purpose of Bhagavatam is to show that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the complete manifestation of all qualities, in spite of the fact that all the forms are one. Therefore, whatever is manifest in Kapiladev is also there in Krishna, but in greater degree. So here we find Kapiladev teaching. So Krishna also teaches. Or we find that Nrsimhadev kills demons, like a big demon like Hiranyakasipu, who looked formidable. So Krishna also kills the same demon, as Shishupal. Very easily. He doesn't even have to fight, he just throws Sudarshan Chakra and it's finished. Similar powers, whatever in the other forms, are also in Krishna. But Krishna also shows something very special. Beyond what all the other forms show, he also shows those things, but he shows other things as well. So that is the uniqueness of Krishna. That he has these extra qualities, which are summarized as Madhurya or sweetness. And this makes Krishna Swayam Bhagavan. So because of his all-attractive nature, because of these qualities, his potency also to deliver the fallen souls is much more. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna. So he, in one sense, is Swayam Bhagavan. And therefore, he has that same potency to deliver the fallen souls by his attractive qualities. Except Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more merciful than Krishna. Though Krishna is the most merciful, you'll find that Lord Chaitanya is even the most merciful because he is emphasized with the mercy aspect of Krishna. So that is magnified, and therefore Lord Chaitanya is considered to be Mahavaranya, or the most generous in giving out mercy to fallen souls. So though Krishna delivers unqualified persons, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivers even more unqualified persons. So the purpose of Bhagavatam is to show this complete form of Krishna as the main object of worship. And Lord Chaitanya has said that Bhagavatam is actually the commentary on the Brahma Sutras. So in other words, the Brahman of the Brahma Sutras is ultimately Swami Bhagavan Krishna. So when the question is asked, Atattva Brahma Jigyasa, now it is time to inquire about Brahman. That Brahman refers to Krishna, not impersonal Brahman. But, as was mentioned yesterday, as Devahuti realized Supreme Lord Bhagavan, she also covered the realization of Brahman and Paramatma. So therefore, that Brahman as Krishna also includes the impersonal aspect as well as the Paramatma aspect. Plus, all the other forms of God are also included. So therefore, the conclusion of Brahma Sutras is that Krishna is the highest form of Brahman. So the to attain that worship of and realization of Krishna, one has to follow a particular process. According to the process, one gets the result. So if you do jnana, you get Brahman realization. If you perform yoga, you get Paramatma realization. If you perform bhakti, you get Bhagavan realization. But if you worship Rama, you realize Rama in bhakti. If you worship Krishna, you realize Krishna. So according to the form of the Lord we worship in bhakti, then we will get a realization of that particular form. So in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, as instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our object of worship is Krishna, in order to attain Krishna. Of course, in addition to that, then we also have the worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is non-different Krishna, and because he's merciful, this gives us an easy approach to Krishna. So therefore, we combine the worship of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. So this is the process we follow. So we worship Krishna. But simultaneously, Lord Chaitanya has propagated the Yuga Dharma, which is Nam Sankirtan. So this type of bhakti is the preferred process and practical process in Kali Yuga. So Lord Chaitanya is also instructed that the worship of Krishna consists of chanting the name of Krishna. So therefore we chant the Maha Mantra as our main type of bhakti. So for this particular type of bhakti, Nam Sankirtan of Krishna's name, then we realize Krishna by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, the Bhagavatam presents the highest truth in the form of Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. And all the whatever we see here in the form of these different pastimes of the other forms of God, the avatars, they're actually aspects of Avatari Krishna, who is the source of all the avatars. By hearing about these different pastimes of these other avatars, we can also appreciate the qualities of Krishna, because these are also qualities within Krishna. Okay.
Most of the grihasthas, they worship Gaunitai. Most of the grihasthas in our Sampradaya, they worship Gaunitai, and they think that is sufficient.
Well, according to the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, we shouldn't neglect Krishna also. So, of course, within the Gaudiya Sampradaya in general, they may worship Lord Chaitanya, but they should not separate Lord Chaitanya from Radha and Krishna, because Lord Chaitanya represents Radha and Krishna. Now, the reason in ISKCON why we, many grihasthas, do that is because for the worship of Radha and Krishna, actually, we should follow standards of Pancharatric worship. To approach that, then we worship Lord Chaitanya, who is very merciful. So the standards may not be quite proper or whatever, but if there is devotion, therefore, that is allowed to some degree, therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya.
On the prominent avatars like Rama and Shiva, they appear once a day, every day of the week.
Yeah. All the avatars mentioned in the Bhagavad appear every day of Brahma.
It means Lakshmadeva appeared as a previous Mandantara.
Yeah, Chakshusha Mandantara, 6 Mandantara period.
But the worship of Lakshmadeva continues even after.
Yeah.
But we see the places where Lakshmadeva appeared.
Apparently. Maybe they lasted millions and millions and millions and millions of years. 71. Yuga cycles would have to last, which is maybe trillions of years. Same thing, avatar, yeah, means the source of all the avatars.
ग्रंथराशि श्रीमद् भागवतम की
जय।
नमस्कार महाराज की
जय।
वंदे श्री प्रभु तंत्र गुरु पाद की
जय।
दाई गोप प्रमरण
Yeah.